Commence our meeting tonight properly now by singing the words of hymn number 224. Hymn number 224. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You know, it's the blood of the Lamb that we preach in this mission, and it's the blood of the Lamb has the power to save souls. So we'll stand as we sing this opening hymn, 224. Jesus. But Lord, we thank of many gathered in tonight, Lord, that are not saved. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, you'd speak to hearts tonight. We pray for a real sense of thy presence. We pray, Lord, for a brokenness tonight. Oh, Lord, we pray for thy Holy Spirit to come down amongst us. And oh, God, we pray tonight, Lord, that we'll be business done, and men and women and boys and girls' hearts that will last for all eternity. We thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you love men and women. Lord, you love sinners. No, Lord, that amazing grace, Lord, that reached down and, Lord, even sought and lifted poor, hell-deserving sinners out of the gutter, Lord, and you lifted us and, Lord, set our feet upon a rock. We thank you, Lord, for all thy love and thy kindness, Lord, even for doing this for us. Lord, we pray tonight, Lord, that you'll even apply this word that will be preached to hearts tonight. We pray, Lord, for those even backslidden in heart, those that are walking cold, Lord, far from thee. We pray, Lord, you'll bring them back to their first love. We pray for our pastor. We thank you, Lord, for him. We thank you for help given in past evenings. But, Lord, tonight we pray for even a fresh touch of thy Holy Spirit upon his word that we bring. We thank you, Lord, that we have somebody in the pulpit that's going to preach the gospel. We thank you, Lord, for a clear word and the gospel. We just pray, Lord, to be with us. We pray, Lord, for Sarah as she comes to sing, and her brother Trevor as he comes to testify. We pray you'll give them the needed grace that they need. And even through each part of me, Lord, you'll touch hearts tonight. We pray, Lord, you'll come amongst us. Do us good, Lord, and we'll be careful to give thee all the praise, the honour, and the glory. Amen. For it's in thy name we ask it. Amen. We're very glad to have tonight with us to sing Sarah Moffat. Sarah is a daughter of the clerk of session. Phil, she's going to come now to sing to us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah, for very nice pieces. We're very pleased tonight to have with us Mr. Trevor Wiley. Trevor is an elder in our Coleraine congregation, a son of the late Reverend John Wiley, who was a minister in Calvary, one of the churches before Balmoney, Calvary. And I have fond memories of his father. He used to visit regularly in our house. Whenever I say I have fond memories, I've also mixed emotions, because I was a little boy, probably about maybe five, and he was a very witty man, and he was always joking, and he used to always keep me going about having a big tummy. And he used to always say, I'll have to get you a corset, he says, to pull this tummy. And I didn't even know what that meant, but I was sort of scared, that's a man. But eventually, as time went on, I grew to really love him and the Lord, and he was a great man. And I remember the last memory I had of him was on the, I think it was the 40th anniversary. He came out, and he was in a wheelchair at that stage, and he was a great man, used of God over the years. So we're very glad to have Trevor with us, and Trevor's just going to come and give us a word of testimony.
Say I would. But after that, I prayed through the week. I said, Lord, if they ask me again, I'll have to go. So we're right at the prison Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of last week with Reverend Higginson and Reverend Badeau to get gospel meetings. When I got out of prison into the car, who was on the phone or on a text message? Mervyn, we're running the mission for another week. Would you like to come up? So it is a privilege to be here tonight and to see so many people that I know, people that have been an encouragement and a blessing to me down through the years. And to see this hall here where I was, I think, some 55 years ago, climbing up the ropes, up the bars. It was a good school, so it was. I came in here when it was on its fourth, and I was 4C. It was only open when I was, I think, about 14. And Mr. Lindsay was the principal. Miss Terry, I just met her coming in there. Lovely to see her too. She was the music teacher. And I spent 2 years here. That was all that could keep me. And I wanted to go to agricultural college, and Mr. Lindsay says, Trevor, we'll keep you an extra year. So I stayed an extra year here, and it was nearly enough for me and enough for the teachers. Like, I remember running down the corridor, I don't know whether it's there or where it is, but one of the teachers, I'm not mentioning her name, she doesn't live too far from Balamoney, and she opened the door and walked out, and of course I just went buying into her like that. And, well, I got a red ear or two, I can assure you. And then the same teacher, I remember I was misbehaving in the class, and she says, go next door and ask Mr., I'm not telling you his name, he took us for basketball. Tell him to give you four of the best. Now that wasn't sweet. I can still see him going to the corner of the cupboard, take him down the cane, just bending the gap. Always says, Trevor, that's just me pleasure. Pull it out. Bang, 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 bang. But anyway, we went over it and we were playing basketball after the afternoon. And some happy memories here. I was the first person to win the medal in the high school. It was an intermediate at that time, so I'm sure you'd hardly believe that, some of you big fellas. I was the first one to win the medal big in the green there. And that's a particular record I have from this school. Lovely to be here. I just want to share with you a bit of thinking to watch out, because I don't want to take up Mr. Park's time. I want to read just one verse to you this evening, which would perhaps sum up my testimony. Will not be a testimony that you'd be interviewed for. Nothing outstanding apart from the grace of God. Paul writes to young Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and the verse 50. Very well known. That from a child I was known the Holy Scriptures, that are able to make the wise unto salvation. Born in 1947 into a Christian home outside Belfast, a place called Dundonald. Born into a godly home. What a blessing. What a privilege. If you're here tonight and you're a young person, maybe a young Christian, I would ask you to thank God tonight. I'm sure you do many a time. But just to go home tonight, and if your parents are still there, still alive, say thank you for the privilege of being born into a Christian home. There's not a greater privilege outside of God's salvation than to be born into a home that loves the Lord and seeks to bring their children up to love the Lord. I was taught when a little boy, my brother George was a couple of years older and James a couple of years younger. We were brought up just to believe the simplicity of the gospel. Taught how that man fell in the Garden of Eden, and that God, after that, promised a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thought why there had to be sacrifices made in the Old Testament. The shedding of blood. Wonderful story of Abraham and Isaac going up Mount Moriah. And Isaac stops him and he says, Father, we have the wood and we have the fire. Where is the lamb? Abraham taught his young boy the necessity of a sacrifice, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. You know, maybe you're here tonight and you're not converted. You don't know the Lord. You haven't that wonderful experience of sins forgiven. You haven't, you can't say, I have peace with God. You can know that tonight before you leave the meeting, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on the cross. As a boy, I give my life to Jesus Christ. Simply, by faith, received him as my Saviour. I was just 6. Remember the night as well, I would take you to the little avenue, or narrow avenue, along the Cumber Road. I would take you to the room where I knelt down as a boy of 6. And simply, in a childlike manner, Father led me to Calvary and to the cross. And that night's as fresh in my mind as it is, and I'm telling it to you now. If you get nothing else from my testimony tonight, I want you to know that Jesus can save a child and keep a child right to heaven itself. I'm as sure of heaven tonight as if I were in it. Not through any thing of myself. Nothing in me. Nothing in my family. Nothing in my church. But only through the Lord Jesus Christ. God's word says that Christ died for sinners. I was a sinner just like everybody else. Yes, born into a Christian home, that was wonderful. That didn't save me. Mother and father, godly people. I look back, and I suppose maybe the older you get, sometimes the more you think about them, because it's maybe because we're getting older, and before long we'll meet them. That's the wonderful hope of the child of God. There's some reunion in heaven. I think of the people that were in the old Catholic Church. Godly people. And again, I had that privilege as a young person of being surrounded not only by... We moved to Ballymoney when I was 7, on the 7th birthday, 3rd of February. So if you want to send me something, money or whatever it is, I'll not refuse it. But we moved my birthday to 19 Port Rush Road. And growing up in the old Catholic Church, I humbly say tonight, but yet thankfully, that I was surrounded by godly people. And I would encourage you, older people, surround your young people with love and compassion and sympathy. But criticism way down the bottom of the scale. Seek to comfort and to carry them. And do all you can to lead them on with the Lord. That's what I have seen sitting on Elizabeth here. They must be getting near the Queen's birthday. Yeah, I don't know. They taught me to drive. Remember that, ladies, huh? In any car, dear me. I wonder you're still alive. But anyway, that's only a few. And I thank the Lord for that. Yes, the Word of God teaches us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I was just the same. If you're unrighteous, you're not one. I was just the same. And yet, I simply repented of my sin as best I knew how as a child. I remember repeating those lovely words, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today to take my sin away. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. That night, Jesus came in, and he's still in. Never left. Many disappointments in life, downs in life, difficulties, but all I have tonight I owe to the Saviour. I want you to remember that. I just want to close, time has gone, I just want to close with a true story. Whenever I was a sales rep, I remember 1 January calling with a man. Farmer way out on the other side of Ballycastle, sheep farmer, the month of January. I had a silage taken and I was giving him the results, and I had my sales book in my hand, and we're talking about the results and so on. I said to him, I said, have you got your low scan? That's basically letting him know how many lambs he was going to have a bit of 800 yos and a big big sheep shed. And he says, I have it, sir. Well, I said, what's the result? And he said to me, Trevor, I wish I was as sure of heaven as I am of a good crop of lambs. And I had to send a telegram straight to heaven. And of course, I better watch what I say, but being a politician, I asked, would you say that again, please? I was looking for something to say. It says, Trevor, I wish I was as sure of heaven as I am of a good crop of lambs. And I said, mentioning his name, you could be more sure of heaven than you can of a good crop of lambs. Because Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I said, Jesus on the cross gave his life for the likes of you and the likes of me. And then Jesus says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And I would just close with that tonight. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you think, oh, I couldn't keep it, or I couldn't do this, or I couldn't do that. I couldn't face my friends. I couldn't face my family. I couldn't face work. I would just encourage you to come to Jesus Christ tonight. Confess your sin to him. And he says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. You let the Lord take care of all the problems tomorrow. Your greatest problem tonight is to be sure you're for heaven. And the only way you enter heaven is by coming the way of the cross. Because there Jesus took your place and took mine. I wonder tonight, as I close, will you come ere this meeting comes to a close? Come to the cross. Come to Jesus Christ. He'll save you. As I said earlier on, we can keep a wee boy with me from 6-year-old to 71. He'll keep you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you.
Thank you, Trevor, for that great clear word of testimony. I was just being earlier on, two hymns we sang and the community singing that were sung regularly at that 1976 mission. I was saved at the same age, 6 years of age. And the Lord can keep us and he guides us right through our lives as well after we're saved. We're going to make a few announcements and then we're going to sing. Announcements really are brief. It's just to remind you, first of all, to thank you for coming. Everybody has turned out. We really appreciate you coming to the mission again. We've had good crowd of people even in this week that has been planned, and so we're just trying to get the word out around to everybody to let them know that the mission is still on for this extended week. And we thank you for coming. You're very welcome. If you're here for the first time, you're especially welcome. And I suppose just to remind you that tomorrow night we have the Word of Truth coming to sing. So we look forward to the Word of Truth. And also Robert is going to give a personal word of testimony. So you can pass the word around. We'll get lots of people in to hear the Word of Truth and to hear Robert giving his testimony. We'll turn in our hymn books to hymn number 313. Just after this, then we'll ask the Reverend Park to come to bring God's precious word. Hymn number 313, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Thank you.
get the mic on so that you can hear me. I think you might hear me anyhow, most of you. Sincere thank you to Jonathan for leading the meeting, and also to Sarah for bringing those messages and song. We felt the challenge and the burden of the meeting so far. For Trevor, for coming, giving that personal word of testimony. He goes back a long way in the history, right back to those days when he was taught to drive by these ladies here. He's misrepresented you tonight. I don't think any of you are near 100 from getting that letter from the Queen just as yet. But it's good to have old friends that you can go back a long way in the work of God. That's going back to the Calvary days when Mr. Wiley was the minister, Mr. Cairns came, and the work eventually moved into the town, where it has been ever since there on Market Street. It took prison to get Trevor here. He had to go to prison before he consented to come and give his testimony. And we do have fond memories of his father. I remember just about his father being the minister in Lurgan. And I remember as a student preaching in Ballymoney in the summertime. And Reverend Wiley was worshipping there. I think he attended quite a bit in his retirement years, the congregation in Ballymoney. And some of you knew him much better than I did. I remember also that night that was spoken about the 40th anniversary when he was brought in, and it was just a very moving time just to see the good, godly old man coming back to be among really his church family. I was in court today, in a court under model, that is the nursing homes, and it was myself and Josh and Derek. And we had a good time. I almost sung out. The accordion was here. I normally bring the accordion, but Josh brought the guitar. And the first meeting that we went to was in the model, and then in the court there was a large group that came. And I have to say, it was a very encouraging time there. Trust the Lord will bless. We're going to Prospect tomorrow at 2:30. If anybody wants to be down at Ballymena, we've been asked to go down and take a meeting there. Please turn in the scriptures tonight to Matthew chapter 7. There is a sermon I believe should be preached at gospel missions from time to time, and certainly in gospel preaching churches. And it is a sermon to do with false professors, people who just make a profession of faith, but it's false. There's nothing really there. There's no substance to it. There may be much on the exterior, as we shall see tonight, but the person that has a false profession has never got to the heart of the matter. The grace of God has never triumphed in them and changed them and brought them savingly to Christ. I believe such a message ought to be preached, because in gospel preaching lands, as you grow up under the influence of the gospel, we know what to do. And very often a profession is made, and people cling to that. We're dealing with mistakes that are made. That's been the theme last week and this week also. Mistakes that men make to the loss of their precious soul. There is a mistake tonight that I want to identify, that is clinging onto a false profession and thinking all is well when it's not. And so we read from the words of Scripture tonight, indeed the words of Christ himself, in Matthew chapter 7, reading from verse 20 through to verse 23, just these four verses this evening. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. With the scriptures before us, we will bow together once more in prayer, briefly. We always come to the preaching of the word with full realization in our own hearts. Without the Lord, we can do nothing. Without the work of the Spirit, nothing will be accomplished. And so we just commit ourselves to the Lord in his word now. Father, we thank thee for help in the mission so far, for this extra week, giving nights of opportunity for men to gather in, hear your word, listen to the truth of the gospel, be challenged by it. We thank thee for the dear Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us so, loved us with an everlasting love, that love bringing him into the world, to be our Saviour, to die for us, to pay the ransom price, that our sins might be forgiven. Thank you for so many attending the mission faithfully, night by night, to know the Lord. We thank thee for the grace that has triumphed in us. We know that we're saved by grace. It's all of grace. And we thank thee too for those that have attended every night who are still strangers to that grace, who have never truly turned in repentance and faith and sought the Lord. We pray that you'll speak at this mission during this final week. And Lord, as we handle this subject tonight, we pray for the wisdom of God and the help of God as we think of something that has blighted the Christian church in every land where the gospel has been proclaimed. A blight that our Saviour speaks about here, about the many who have just a false profession and have never come to really know the Lord and the saving work within. We pray that we'll feel the challenge of your word, and we'll speak to all men, speak, Lord, to those especially who maybe have a profession that they're trusting in and there's no substance there. Speak to those that are in this meeting tonight who are not saved, evidently not saved. May they turn and seek Christ also. Make this a night to remember when God comes down, in Jesus' name. Amen. These very solemn words of Scripture do not stand alone in the Gospel of Matthew. You'll be able to compare them with Matthew chapter 25, in that great and memorable sermon of Christ that he preached, where similar words are used in that chapter when he's speaking about particularly the parable of the 10 virgins. Both of these sermons here in chapter 7 and also in chapter 25 fell from the lips of none other but the dear Son of God when he walked here among men. They come from two of the most challenging sermons ever preached by the greatest preacher of all time, Jesus Christ, the holy, undefiled, eternal Son of the Father. The first sermon, we've read just a little part of it, is the Sermon on the Mount. And then the other sermon, chapter 25, is the Sermon on the Mount of Olives. I have read some of the most solemn words recorded anywhere in the entire Bible. Words that should make us sit up, pay attention. Words that should make us tremble. Words that should bring self-examination to our own hearts and lives. The warning here is directed particularly to those who have an unsound profession. It's not enough to make some kind of a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. It's not enough just to call him Lord. That's what Jesus is saying here in verse 21. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. There are many who call him Lord. There are many who take his name upon their lips. There are many who speak much and loudly about Jesus Christ. They say they are Christians, but they do not truly know him. They make many wonderful professions about what they have done and done all these things in the name of Jesus. But alas, they are unsound in the faith, and they do not know Christ savingly and redeemingly. And one day they will be discovered to their dismay and alarm. They will discover themselves that all was not well with their immortal souls. And they will be cast out from the presence of God forever into everlasting punishment. So how awful is the end of the false professor, the hypocrite, the self-deceiver. He has deluded himself into thinking that it is well with him. He has deluded also his family and friends who have thought for years, maybe for a lifetime, that it was well with them. But he or she has not deluded God. God Almighty, who knows us, who knows all things about us, knows us better than we know ourselves, knows our past, knows our present, knows our future. That false profession will be found out at the last. And all the rottenness and the unsoundness often will be discovered on the great day. The great day of which Jesus speaks about here. Now who are more likely to be found among this number on the final day? Who are more likely to possess such an unreal confession of faith? Well, we have to say the churchgoer, the person who is often under the influence of the gospel, the child of the Sunday school, the children's meeting, the offspring of our children's homes, those who are adherents in our congregation who attend our meetings and come to our missions. Because such have heard the word, and they know the word, they are acquainted with gospel truth, and they realize their need. They are in the light. They have knowledge and understanding. They are brought face to face with the issues of Christ. And they are often convicted and often convinced of many things. And of course, those things that I've mentioned are good things. But there is a danger. And that is to respond to what you hear out of mere fear. And there's nothing more. It's just a fear. Now, it's good to have a fear. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. New Testament cautions us to fear Him, to fear God who is able to destroy both our soul and body in hell. But if it's nothing but fear that drives a man to make a profession, then very often it's an unsound profession. Or maybe they have come to make a profession and it has been emotionalism. It's just been an emotion that's been created in their heart and they have never truly been saved. And all they have is a profession. And so they live with a profession. They go through life with a profession. They come to the end of the journey with a profession. They die with a profession. They go into the grave and into eternity itself with a profession. And they stand before Almighty God with a profession. And they are lost forever. Now what is God looking for? God is looking for obedience. That's what the Lord is teaching here. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And what is the will of the Father? The will of the Father is that we repent, that we truly repent of our sin, that we turn from our sin. It is the will of the Father that we believe, that we come in saving faith to Christ, that we trust in the Redeemer's work, all that Jesus Christ came to do when he came to this earth on behalf of sinners. That's what we're trusting in. And so repentance and faith are so important, and then thereafter to live a holy, obedient life unto the Lord. So we want to think about this subject tonight, the mistake of clinging onto a false profession, thinking all is well and all is not well. You'll notice with me that there is a solemn occasion that Jesus speaks about here. Look at it there. He says, in that day, there is a day, a great day, a solemn day that is set aside by God for judgment, a day of reckoning, a day of accountability, a day of examination when we shall be summoned to stand before the Lord. And the Bible consistently warns of this solemn day when men from all backgrounds of life, from all parts of the world, from every era of history, will be summoned to the judgment bower. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, always remember that after this, after death, the Bible says, the judgment, a day in which we must stand before the Lord. God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. So a very solemn occasion. Think about it, the day when we shall stand before God. I hasten to verse 22, where the Lord here speaks about a significant profession. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Now what a day it is going to be when men and women stand before the righteous throne of the righteous God, and they begin to make some kind of defense and some kind of argument to God why the Lord should accept them, why the Lord should allow them into glory. An outward profession of salvation, no matter how remarkable it might be, will not bring a man to heaven unless there has been true conversion, that a man has been genuinely put into Christ and saved. And of course, the evidence of that work of grace is the fruit that is found in their lives. By their fruit ye shall know them, as we read in verse 20. It is by our obedience unto the Lord, as we read in verse 21. Now notice what Jesus Christ is teaching. Let the message here in the sermon sink into your heart, especially into the heart of those who may be trusting in some kind of profession that was made as a child and there was nothing there, or some kind of emotional experience that you've had but it never produced fruit, it never produced obedience. Or if you're trusting to your outward service and works, the fact that you're involved in church life, that you make an external contribution to the work of God by your attendance and your activities. Some professions will be very great on that day. Lord, we have prophesied in thy name. We have cast out devils in thy name. We have done many wonderful works in thy name. It's not sufficient to say, Lord, Lord, in word and tongue. It's not sufficient to say, I'm a Christian, or to call him Lord in your prayers. Many pray who are not saved. Works are not saving. Words are not saving. Jesus speaks about those who will stand before him on that great judgment day, and they will declare these things. They will say, Lord, I was a preacher. I prophesied in my name. Lord, I saw the power of darkness and the power of Satan overthrown when lives were set free because I cast out devils in thy name. And Lord, I did many mighty deeds, many wonderful works here, and I did them in thy name. Now such men are appealing to Christ with tremendous confidence about the things that they did when they were here in this life. They served the Lord outwardly, while all the time there was never a work of grace accomplished in their hearts. There was never genuine repentance. There was never genuine faith. There was never genuine holiness and genuine conversion. Balaam preached. Caiaphas preached. But it didn't save them. They prophesied in the Lord's name, but the Lord never sent them. And you will note that a man may be a preacher, may even have gifts for the ministry on the outward appearance and perhaps have some success in it, and yet come short himself. Judas Iscariot cast out devils. He was sent out with the other 11. He was given power by the Lord Jesus to cast out devils. He told him to go and preach and to cast out devils and heal the sick. And We have no reason to believe otherwise that Judas had the same gifts that the other disciples had and had the same success. And yet he was a son of perdition. Well, did Matthew Henry say 300 years ago, a man might cast devils out of others and yet have a devil, nay, be a devil himself. And Jesus tells of many who will affirm on that day, I have done many wonderful works and have done them in thy name. There are those who think that they will go to heaven because of what they have done, or what they have given, or what they have sacrificed. Have they not learned that if they are to get to heaven, it is because of what another has done, what another has given, what another has sacrificed, namely the great work of Christ upon the cross of Calvary? Oh yes, there will be a significant profession made on that day, according to the Savior. But then look a little further, there is the shocking condemnation. Mark the words that Jesus speaks here that he will say on that day to such individuals. I never knew you. Now the false professor says, Lord, I knew you, and I served you, and I called you Lord, and I attend the church, and I did many wonderful works, but the stern reply will be, I never knew you. My friends, I'm asking tonight in this service, are you known by the Lord? That's the vital question. Salvation is likened unto this personal, intimate knowledge that God has for the sinner that's saved by grace. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus says, and I know them, and they follow me. Do you know the Lord? Does the Lord know you? The infinite wisdom of God knows all things. He knows all people. There's nothing that escapes his attention. He sees us every day and he knows us through and through. That's not the knowing that is spoken about here. There is the knowledge of God. God knows everything. He knows all about us. He knows all about you and me tonight. That's not the knowledge. What the Lord is speaking about is a saving knowledge. For example, in 2 Timothy 2 verse 19, the Word of God tells us, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having a seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. My friends, does the Lord know you? Or will he say on that day of eternal judgment, I never knew you? I think I see that crowd of religious people standing before the Lord, standing, lining up for judgment at the throne. And I hear what they say. And they speak with earnest appeal and passion, but what Jesus says, I never knew you. Lord, I was a preacher, but I never knew you. Lord, I cast out devils in your name, but I never knew you. Lord, I did many wonderful works in your name, but I never knew you. Lord, I sang in the choir, but I never knew you. Lord, I taught in Sunday school, but I never knew you. Lord, I gave thousands of pounds to missionary work, but I never knew you. Lord, I was a church officer, but I never knew you. Lord, I went around the doors and I gave out gospel tracts. I even gave out invitations for gospel missions, like the one we're in tonight. But I never knew you. Lord, I went on missionary journeys, but I never knew you. Lord, I was involved in every aspect of church life, but I never knew you. How do you stand tonight in the light of divine truth before a holy God? Because I want you to notice that there is a sad separation that Jesus speaks about here. Not only is he addressing these people by saying, I never knew you, but he says, depart from me. We can hardly take that in. When the Lord Jesus Christ came in the flesh, he invited sinners to himself. He said, I am come to call sinners to repentance. And he says, come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, if any man thirst, then come unto me and drink. But in the day when Jesus comes again in his glory, he is not coming to invite sinners to him, he is coming to drive sinners from him. They that would come to him to be saved, or who would not come to him to be saved, must depart from him to be damned. To depart from Christ is the hell of hells. It's the worst experience of all misery of lost sinners to be cut off from His holy and happy presence forever. See from what height of hope man may fall into such depths of despair. This should be an awakening word for us all. If a preacher that the Lord identifies here, one who has cast out devils and wrought miracles, can be dissolved in that day because he truly didn't know the Lord, what will become of the multitudes of ordinary men and women on that day who only have a profession of religion and never have a possession of Christ? Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. When we look at the Savior's words, we have to say finally that there is a sizable proportion of people that the Lord is speaking about. Because he says many. Many will say to me in that day. Not just a few. It is to be feared in gospel preaching lands, in gospel preaching Ulster, that there are many that are found in this way. Here in this time. Here in this mission. Will you be among them? Judas Iscariot, of course, is a prime example of all that Jesus is teaching here. Because Judas Iscariot was a preacher, prophesied in the name of Jesus. Judas Iscariot cast out devils, did it in the name of Jesus. Judas Iscariot did many wonderful works like the other apostles, but he was unsound in his faith. He didn't truly know the Lord. But he doesn't stand alone. There are many who were like him. I ask as we come to the close of the mission tonight, have you done the will of our Father, which is in heaven? Have you repented of your sin? Turn from it. Have you believed the gospel? Is this your hope tonight? Trusting in nothing else but the work of Jesus Christ, that work that he came to do when he represented us in this earth, in his life, and in his death. And have you got the evidence of that change? You are living a holy, humble life before God. If not, in spite of all the privileges and professions that you make, it's possible that you'll miss heaven at last and be cast away forever. It's time for self-examination. Time, as the scripture says, to make your calling and your election sure. Am I Christ's? Do I really belong to him? Am I found in him, clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand that day before his throne? Am I washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have I more than just a profession? Because you see, my friends, it's a great mistake to cling on to a mere profession, a false profession, and go through life that way, thinking it is well, when things are far from well. Oh, do you know Christ? It's the all-important thing. Because God, he is offered to you in the gospel. And we can recommend him to you in the gospel. And we can tell you about one who took your place and died for you. What's your profession based upon? A little prayer that had no meaning in it. A little emotional experience that never brought a change to your life. Or when you came to profess faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, did the Lord change your life and convert your soul, make you his child? And you can say tonight, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Yes, preacher, I know Jesus Christ as my Savior, and this Jesus Christ knows me savingly and redeemingly. Let us pray. We felt burdened to bring this word tonight. It's for some. Maybe just for one person here particularly. God knows that, and I think in your heart you know too. What are you leaning on? your eternal well-being. It's of the utmost importance. And you say, I know Christ, I'm certain of that. I am my beloved's and he is mine. I'm certain about that. I remember the day when I came to Christ and I was truly converted. And yes, preacher, I'm not just a profession of God's possession, but my Christian faith. And I know tonight as well with me. The Lord came to give us full assurance of salvation. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And thank God those who are saved can know. Be sure of that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, for all that has taken place here in the mission. And we see in the sermon of our dear Saviour, a very solemn morning here, you see, he brings his sermon to an end. You think of the many of which he speaks. Those that were abiding his day, like Judas Iscariot. Those that have lived through the centuries since, that are still about today in gospel preaching lands, who maybe through mere emotionalism or whatever the case might be, have made a profession, but they've never been soundly saved. Oh God, bring true repentance and faith. Bring true conversion work, we pray. And help each one to make sure in Christ and see before the great and dreadful day of the Lord hath come. Thou hast been working in this mission. We have sensed your presence. We know of those who have expressed concern already and still they haven't stepped out for Christ. Lord, bring them even tonight to know him. For Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm going to sing in closing, not the hymn that I've given to our pianist and organist, but that lovely hymn that we like to sing at Hebron 288, on coming to the cross, and poor and weak and blind, finding all the dross I should fold, salvation find. And trusting, Lord, in thee, blessed Lamb of Calvary, humbly at thy cross I bow, save me, Jesus, save me now. We're going to start and sing that verse in chorus. Just the one verse tonight. And if you haven't come to the Saviour, come to him tonight. Come to the cross, the place where your sin can truly be dealt with. Trusting in his redeeming work. May there be those who will indeed say, I am trusting, Lord, in thee, blessed Lamb of Calvary. Humbly at thy cross I bow. Save me, Jesus, save me now. Lord, we know that when sinners come to pray a prayer like that and pray from the heart and really mean it, that the Lord will not pass them by. He will save them. He will take them in. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, we cry to thee for true conversion work to be done. Separate us now with your blessing. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.